Before I get started, a couple things as a reminder for some of you guys came in late. Next week, we will be having our annual business potluck and business meeting to follow. So please plan to attend that. It is in your calendar for the following week, so please make that adjustment. Also, I don't know if it was on the announcements this morning, but we do have a birthday boy. Owen, Stephen's boy, little boy, today is his birthday, so happy birthday, Owen. Okay, this week at our home, Bible study, we kind of do some question and answer, and we did look through the Christmas story, but one of the questions was, what's that lighthouse verse, the lighthouse verse in the Bible? And I thought to myself, what is the lighthouse verse in the Bible? I had never heard of that one before. Do you know what the lighthouse verse in the Bible is? Well, this morning we're going to look at the lighthouse verse in the Bible. But before that we get there, we're going to look at some other passages of Scripture. If you would join me this morning by standing for our Scripture reading, we're going to look at John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. It's going to be our Scripture reading this morning. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, and this man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to all men coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Son, or as of the begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.' And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. You may be seated. This morning we're going to be talking about the light of the world. The light of the world. First of all, we're going to look at Christ is the light of life. As it talked about in that passage we just read, that Christ is the light. He is the light of life. First of all, He is the source of light. Not only physical light, which we see is interesting in studying this light, concept of light in the book of John. We're going to kind of trace that through the book of John a little bit this morning. But in the creation story, Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." Right? We have God created as time, heavens as space, and earth as matter. So the first thing God did was create space, time, and matter in which He was going to put everything that He was going to create. But the first thing that He created was light. He said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Genesis 1 2 says, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light." And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Very interesting. Jesus is not only the source of the light of life, but he is the source of light by creation as well. We would not have light, the sun, the moon, any of that, if it wasn't for Christ. Christ is also the source of physical light in his physical being. In John 9:5, we see Christ says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And again in John 8:12, he said, Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." So that Jesus in his physical being is the light of the world. And also the written word. We have the living word and the written word is also a light to us. Psalms 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path." So in much the same way that the sun gives us direction, it gives us, allows us to see things that might come in our path that would be a danger to us, God's word also illumines our path and allows us to see the way in which we should go and is a physical light to us. But that is not the only kind of light that John speaks of in the Gospel of John. There is a physical light, but there is also a metaphysical. Metaphysical meaning the basic fundamentals of reality. And what I mean by that is we have the physical, which we see, taste, touch, but the metaphysical is the soul, that which is apart from our physical being. It's kind of the essence, the very, very basicness of what is life. And we see that Jesus said in John chapter 1, John said, in describing Jesus in verses 4 and 5, he said, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." His life, he gave us life by creation, but also we have this spiritual life as well. It says the light shines in the darkness and the darkness did not comprehend it. We've all had the experience of either going to bed and maybe you're looking at your phone or something like that, but the lights have been turned down and there's just very little light, or maybe waking up early in the morning, right, and you're awake, your eyes are open, but it's still very dark out. And then somebody turns on the lights, right? And what is the immediate reaction? Turn those lights back off, right? Because it's your eyes haven't adjusted to that bright light. And John is saying the same thing of Jesus. When Jesus came into the world, he is a very bright light. And the darkness did not comprehend it. And he said, we got to close our eyes. Not only do we see that Jesus is the light of life, but in Jesus and in God, the Godhead, there is an absence of darkness. There is no darkness within God. In 1 John 1, 5 through 10, it says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us." So we are to be confessing our sins, but we also not to be walking in darkness either. The next passage I want to look at is in Luke chapter 11, and it's a very interesting passage. It's kind of this passage where we get the song, This Little Light of Mine. But I think a lot of times we read over this passage and we don't really contemplate what Christ is actually trying to say. This is in Luke 11, 33 through 36. It says this, "No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye, and therefore when your eye is good, your whole body is also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body is also full of darkness. And therefore take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light." If you look at the context of here in Luke chapter 11, you can see when he says that the lamp of the body is the eye. Now that is a very peculiar statement. The lamp of the body is the eye. And if you look in Luke chapter 11, it's always important when you're interpreting Scripture to look at the context of what he's talking about here. In the passage right before that, he's talking about seeking a sign. And the generation of that day were looking for a sign. They wanted to see, are you really the Christ? Give us a sign. And he was saying that a wicked generation seeks a sign. And then he gives us this example of the lamp of the body. And then he talks about the Pharisees and the lawyers and the leaders of that day and how they were basically not doing their job. And so what do we see here by the lamp of the body is the eye? He's not talking about our physical eye here. He's talking about our metaphysical eye, meaning not what we see with our eyes, but the way we understand the world. He says, the lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. When you see the world in a correct way, when you understand the world correctly, that God is God, the judge of the world, and he is going to judge us, and that we are sinners deserving judgment, and Christ paid the penalty for that, for us, and we have accepted his gift of salvation, received his righteousness, and now are living our life to serve him, then Jesus says that the whole body, when your eye is good, then your whole body is also full of light. Like Paul talked about, that we shouldn't allow our members to be given over to serve unrighteousness, but it should be given over to serve righteousness. He said, but when your eye is bad, when your understanding of the world is about this guy right here, my purpose for living is to please myself, and my light, my eye is bad, then your body is also full of darkness. And then he gives us a warning. He says, therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. And that is a heed that we must listen to. He goes on to tell the Pharisees, woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass by justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. What he's talking about here is if all this is a book of guidelines, and we search this book to find out the answers of life, and we say, okay, love your neighbor, I'm gonna go help my neighbor. And it says, okay, obey your parents, and so I'm going to try to obey my parents. if it's all it is a moral system, it's empty, it's void. There's something deeper here that we must understand in order for our eyes to be illuminated and for the light to shine through us. And that is our understanding and our relationship with God. We must have a relationship with God. It must not be just that we search the Scriptures and think that in them we will find eternal life. Eternal life is found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. The passage says, take heed. And Jesus talked about this need to take heed in John chapter 3. He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. We have a tendency to love darkness. There's a poem that says, I want to be a little light that glistens clean and true. I want to show forth Jesus in everything I do. I don't like smoky lamps, Lord, or candles dim and slow. I don't like flickering hazy lights that do not shine and glow. Thou hast told me in Thy word to let my light so shine that those who look into my face will know that I am Thine. The Bible says that we are the light of the world. When Jesus was removed from this earth, He left us to be the light. Ephesians 5, 8 through 14 says, for you were once in darkness, but now you are the light of the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light, and therefore He says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Unfortunately, when we come to know Christ as our Savior, if Christian theism is true, I was in a debate this week, and I heard that phrase over and over. If Christian theism is true, if Christian theism is true, then Jesus wants everything in my life brought into the light. And He washes away all the darkness. He starts over instantly. When we come to know Christ, we are a dark, stained lamp. And we have a lamp cover that's glass, but it's all black from sin. And we come to Christ and we say, I know this is going to take you a while, but here's my lamp. Do with it what you can. I don't expect much. And Jesus says, you're good to go. And instantly, it's clean. And we say, no, 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 no. That doesn't work like that. It takes a long time in order to become clean. And Jesus says, you're clean. Go out and do no more sin. Go out and sin no more. And we say, why can't I come to know Christ? And why can't I leave all those mistakes in the past? Why can't I just leave it in the darkness? Why can't I just shine through part of my life and just leave those uncomfortable things in the past? God says, no. I want you to shine through your whole being. And if there's any part in you that's darkness, my light will not be able to shine through you. And so he cleans us out instantly. But we have to come to accept that. We have to come to be willing to live according to his word. One night there was a motorist who was run down. This is a long time ago. He was run down by a train at the grade crossing. And this is back before they had the arms that come down. There was a signalman, an old signalman in charge of the crossing, and he had to appear in court. And after a severe cross-examination, he was still unshaken. He said he had wavered his lantern frantically, but all to no avail. And the following day, the superintendent of the line called him into the office, and he said, "You did wonderfully yesterday, Tom." He said, "I was afraid at first that you might waver." And the man said, "No, sir. But I was afraid that the old lawyer was going to ask me whether or not my lantern was lit." We have a tendency to walk around with lanterns that aren't lit. And we wonder why we're not bringing people into the kingdom of God. We're wondering why our light is not being effective when we go out into the world. Is because we carry around lanterns that are turned off. The lighthouse verse is this, Matthew 5, 14 through 16. "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." You know, it's interesting. A lighthouse kind of does two things. It shows a path, right? So we can see. But it also illuminates the darkness. It scares it away. That's what we're supposed to be as Christians. We're supposed to set an example, a path that people can see to follow. Like Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And we're supposed to also cast light wherever we go. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness. Second Corinthians 4:6 says, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." What an amazing work that God has done in illuminating our hearts. Who once was dark and disgusting. But he has shined a light. He has cleaned out our hearts if we are willing. And he wants to shine through us and reach out into the darkness around us. And some are blinded by the devil, but some are willing to come to Christ. But they need to see the light. They need to see the light. On the coast of Norway is a lighthouse where a keeper lived with his two children. One day he went to the distant shore for provisions. A storm arose and he was unable to return. The time for the lighting of the lamp came. And Mary, the elder child, said to her little brother, "We must light the lamp, Willie." "How can we?" he asked. "We aren't big enough." But the two children climbed the long narrow stairs to the tower where the lamp was kept. And Mary pulled up a chair and tried to reach the lamp in the great reflector. It was too high. She went down the stairs and ascended again with a small oil lamp in her hand and said, "I can hold this up," she said to her little brother. And she climbed on the chair once again, but still the reflector was just beyond her reach. "Get down," said Willie. "I know what we can do." And so she jumped down and he stretched his little body across the chair and he said, "Stand on me," he said. She stood on the little fellow as he lay across the chair, and she raised the lamp up high, and its light shone far out across the water. And holding it first with one hand and then with the other to rest her arms, she called down to her brother, "Does it hurt you, Willie?" "Of course it hurts," he called back, "but keep the light burning." Are we keeping the light of God's love burning in the world, even when it hurts? Are we holding it up so high that all the nations can see the beam? Let's pray. Dear Lord, when we look at your word, we look at the example that you set, the light that you shed. Lord, we just don't have the faith to copy it. We just don't believe that we can make that kind of difference. And in our own strength, Lord, we're right. We can't make a big difference. We are failed people. We are sinful people. Selfish, looking after our own ways. But Lord, if we will allow you to come in and shine your light into our life and to seek you with all of our heart, then you will clean out all of those dark areas of our life and make us a useful vessel for your kingdom. And that we can be a lighthouse on this earth for people who live in darkness. Our world at this time needs a great light. And sometimes when we share that light, they might cower a little bit. They might say, "Oh, turn that back off." But Lord, we must be emboldened. We must see the world as it really is. A temporary world with eternal consequences. Temporary pleasures, but that can keep us from eternal rewards. Lord, we must make sure that our eyes are seeing the truth and taking heed that what is inside of us is not darkness. Lord, we must confess any sin in our life. We must get rid of the darkness in our life with your help. Help us to be that vessel of light that you so desperately want to shine through us. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.